session number 17225, reel 2.
Mr. Peter, reel 2.
Well, and there was a municipal council which largely consisted of Europeans, on which I was automatically a member as district commissioner, so I had to join in the municipal problems as well as the district ones outside in the settled area farms. It involved meeting farmers and so on and finding out problems. Occasionally there were problems with Africans on these farms, but not the situation was reasonably good. We were having a lot of Mau Mau detainees who had finished their time in detention being returned to the district, which did present problems because one was never quite sure how far they were cured of what they'd done before. So I was involved in that as well. They were said to have been cleansed by their time in detention camps and the rehabilitation they'd been through, and on the whole most of them were, and they settled back down to normal life again.
What was your own opinion about the efficacy of the policy of interning people as far as your judgment of those returnees was concerned?
Well, I think there was no alternative to doing that for people who have taken the Mau Mau and completely indoctrinated by it to having them in camps. But I don't think we ever felt we'd solve the rehabilitation problem the best way of... As you know, you had the deaths at Hola camp, which caused such a row internationally. And it is a tremendous problem, that, to decide the best way of rehabilitating people who've been through what they had been. But I think a lot of the Kikuyu by then realised they accepted that the colonial government was in charge again, and there was also been various developments in LegCo, and I think with wider African representation there, I think the majority were accepting that there was progress from their point of view towards independence.
But when you say rehabilitation, was there some procedure for getting individuals back into some kind of...
Yes, well, I never went to her, never saw exactly how it was done. I mean, it was just getting them to accept ordinary discipline again. I wasn't there, but I know they had huge problems deciding how to do it. I mean, I never went to a rehabilitation camp, the famous one at Hola, where they were trying to do this.
Can you tell me about the Kikuyu Guard and what was your contact and knowledge of that, please?
Oh, yes. Well, the Kikuyu Guard were tremendous. I mean, they were, as I say, people were carefully screened when they were entered into it, but I think in my division in Fort Hall, I think there must have been about 1,000 of them, and they were voluntary until the beginning of 1955, I think, when there was a move to get them reduce the numbers and transfer the ones needed into the tribal police reserve, because we had a tribal police force which was paid and worked under the district officer, and the Kikuyu Guard were recruited during the emergency, and really it was there with their local knowledge which helped break the thing up, because it was local loyal people who were prepared to work in those very difficult circumstances with the colonial power and break up Mau Mau, because their local knowledge, they knew all the people round about, and they had some, I forget how many they lost, but they lost several hundred certainly in Fort Hall, and they were the backbone for the forts which I mentioned earlier, you know, whereby when I got to Fort Hall we were building forts around the edge, because the Mau Mau had really withdrawn to the Aberdare Forest, and the army and the police, that was the place they were trying to get them out of. And we built what we call forts, as you know, not really forts in what you might understand, but it is a defended area with ditches around it where you can feel safe inside along the edge of the forest, so patrols could work out from them into the forest itself to hunt the Mau Mau.
How many of these forts did you have?
I think in Kerandara, around the edge of the forest, there were certainly half a dozen. I mean, as I say, I showed you the photograph of Fort Essex and Fort Berry. They had usually picked up cheerful names like that, the Kikuyu Guard officers, because we usually had a European Kikuyu Guard officer in charge, and I certainly had a Kikuyu Guard officer in charge of the Kikuyu Guard in my division in Fort Hall, that is Kandara, and then they helped organize it. and they had a job. As I say, it was this continual patrolling which was really stopped the Mau Mau, you know, coming. What they wanted to do was come out of the forest and attack people in the reserve, and of course that's why we put them there, so that they could do the patrolling with local knowledge and stop it. And by, as I said, by the time towards the end of 54, it really had worked. I mean, they were confined to the forest largely, which is where the KAR and the police concentrated.
So were there any Mau Mau incursions into your area, or any clashes in
Yeah, there were a few. We didn't have any major clash when I was there. No, fortunately, they'd been driven really out of the reserve, and there were more limited ones in, but not a major. There was no major one while I was there.
But whilst the actual Mau Mau fighters or guerrillas or whatever were up in the forest, was there not some Mau Mau structure existing in the settled areas that they'd left behind?
Oh yes, they were there. They certainly had some allies there, but by that time, I'm sure the chiefs and the headmen who had this awful job of being on the ground with all this going on could suspect and would have a very good idea of who had taken the Mau Mau oath and who hadn't from their general attitude. They were, but they couldn't connect with each other so easily. And it was the chaps in the forest who had the gun, had the odd rifle, or would organise. The organisers tended to live in the forest latterly, because if they came into the reserves, they were liable to get clobbered.
But was there some kind of political process going on in the settled areas, which the Mau Mau in the settled organisation in the settled areas could take advantage of?
No, I don't think. I think, well, I know, apart from just having friends, that's all. No, there was nothing. I don't recall any sort of Mau Mau political organisation in the settled areas, apart from the. Because it was more or less been driven underground. It's like having, terrorists with some friends and not all that number. By the end of 54, you see, it was clear to the all Kikuyu that the government had won, so that you have that rather going quiet.
At this time, had you thought that independence was impending?
Oh yes, well, I could see that it was going that way. I forget now the details of how Legco was developing, but there was certainly, I think. You could see that this was going to happen. Oh, I think by 57 you could realise that it wasn't going to be all that number of years before major changes had occurred. But that was partly reflected by the general world situation too, by what was going on in other parts of the world. But one was so busy trying to get law and order organised properly again that one didn't have much time to think about the ultimate, how long it was going to be, no.
What were the law and order problems that you personally were facing?
Well, it was getting them to, stop all this robbery and stop like that, and accept that you must live like civilized human beings for a change, and not go roaming around with arms and ready to attack people, and settle down to to ordinary life. I mean, one of the great advantages of the emergency was the villagization, I think, was that it enabled us in Fort Hall, when you had to, had the powers to make people move and live in villages, it meant that land consolidation could take place. Now, that's a major undertaking, but it gets all the bits together. But it was a terrific advantage in some ways to Kikuyu, because having villagized them, one could organize the land consolidation, and that improved the agriculture, which gave them a tremendous step forward. I mean, I often thought, really, that in some ways they're gaining out of this emergency. We got better roads, because the army people wanted to move around. We put them into villages, and now you can really, really organise the country. I mean, when you think, it was a huge step to be... We'd never been able to do it in a normal peacetime, to just suddenly order the people, the population, to move into villages. Because they then left the agricultural clear, and you could, as I say, it was a huge... A lot of our time was help pushing forward land consolidation, to get, helping with that. Because, as you can imagine, getting that down on paper, all the little small holdings, then consolidating and giving each chap back his right acreage, was a huge undertaking.
But was that done voluntarily?
Well, the villagization wasn't really done voluntarily, but yes, I think once they saw it, that had been done, I think it was accepted by the bulk of them that consolidation was a good thing. Rather like it was the same in England, after all, way back.
That was enclosure movement.
Enclosures, yes. You see, basically it's the same idea as enclosure. It is enclosure. You allocate out the chambers. So an awful lot of our time was spent with the, you know, you can imagine the problems that arise, organising villages, meant new roads. And it is a huge revolution. And in fact, as I said, the Kikuyu gained tremendously by the emergency, by the fact that that enabled it to be done much in normal times. I think it would have taken 20 years, you know, try and persuade people, but had to go around trying to get people to persuade to accept it. Would have been very difficult.
But was there any sense in the administration that the Mau Mau ought not to be rewarded, in a sense?
Oh, yes, having
staged.
Yes. There was a feeling that they should be denied and not be allocated any land. That was the African attitude, ones who were loyal. So they should not be, you know, it was a difficult one to, because there was feeling about that, of course, there was feeling about that. They should be denied, you know, have their lands confiscated.
So your official title was District Commissioner Nakuru?
Yes, that was in 57, yes. And I was only a district officer in Fort Hall.
When were you a district officer in Fort Hall?
Well, that was 50. Well, I was posted there as a district officer in charge of one of the. Is it four divisions or was it five divisions in Fort Hall? Each with a district officer in charge. And as a result of the. That was another advantage, God. You know, we set up these divisional headquarters, were set up, which meant the district officer, instead of normal in the old days, you would have had the district commissioner and district officers living in the main town, which was Fort Hall. But latterly, they spread them out, they put the district officers out, each to live in his own division. Which you know, put you much closer, put you right in the middle of your local, what you were responsible for.
Did you serve right up until independence?
Yes, yes, up to 63, end of 63, I did serve, yes. Because I forget what my last posting was. It was a pity to tell, wasn't it, if one comes home. Yes, I served up just to 63. I came back in 63 because I decided, I'd taken my bar exams at various stages. I got an offer of a job in Oxford, and I would had to do a course. The Law Society said they would accept me because the bar read across and said, "Well, he's not too bad a chap. You know, we might as well have him." But the Law Society wrote back and said, "Oh, well, you better just take our exam." So you can imagine I had to take an exam, and I was allowed home a little bit early to catch a course in September '63. Was able to get on the course, and they allowed me to come in September rather than wait till, what was it, the following May, I think, you know, the independence came.
What was the transition to independence like? Was it smooth?
Yes, I think it was, really, yes. But we had quite a lot of, we were trying to bring on African district officers, we had been for some time, and district assistants, and the transition to independence was reasonably smooth.
Did you actually get to know Kenyatta?
No, not really. It was just when he was given a seat in Legco. I happened to be the district, was it district commissioner? I suppose I must have been there in Fort Hall when he had to come and apply for fill in his papers. You know, they were trying to get him a seat somewhere, and so he had to fill in the usual sort of parliamentary rigmarole. He had to have sign papers and swear something in front of me. Which I then had to send forward, you know, so that he could stand for election.
When Mau Mau was on, was there a different attitude between the administration and the white settlers to how it should be handled?
No, I think they agreed, because the settlers, of course, were so living in an isolated farm was so dangerous. I mean, I think perhaps they... No, on the whole, we agreed. I mean, they thought they should have been looked after better, but, I mean, they realised it was an impossible situation. You couldn't guard every settler's farm completely. I mean, they were allowed arms and so on, but it really had to be left to them. Some of those awful murders which took place, you see, were on isolated farms. I was going to say, I think perhaps the settlers' usual reaction, think local people living rather like Northern Ireland, think, you know, the government perhaps should have been tougher still, but I don't know that we could have been. You couldn't lock up the whole population, after all, the Kikuyu population.
How apprehensive or otherwise did you feel personally whilst Mau Mau was going on?
Well, I can't say I ever felt too bad, because we had tribal priests with us. The worst instance I had was, I mean, we were used to, when in Kandaro, my little bungalow I was in was wide open to anything, and the worst instance was when I saw someone crawling towards me across the grass. We were woken up by a noise, and I thought, oh God, are these chaps going to attack me? And I cocked my pistol. Then it was a drunken agriculture officer. Stugger stood up. So I said to him, he was very lucky, would he kindly come walk home in future, not be so drunk that he had to crawl. That was about the worst instance, when my wife and I, you know, she had a pistol too, but, so we were armed ready for this, because Kandara hadn't been attacked once, and we hadn't, you know, it was difficult to put defences around it. We did actually sleep armed. But that was possibly that moment when I thought, I saw this crawling towards me, is wondering, you know, which was just like the Mau Mau wood, and they might fire the heist or something. That was probably the worst moment, and it was in fact a drunk European officer trying to get to his house next door. I think he must have mistaken my house for his or something.
What do you mean by sleeping armed? Do you mean with a weapon?
Well, no, under the pillow. I was at a pistol under the pillow.
So you were just under the pistol?
Yes, but I had but there were tribal priests patrolling the boma as well. But I mean, for one's own, because you see, we didn't have a sort of ring fence around the boma, so one had to. One knew the only possible danger was a sneak attack by some of you who found a Mau Mau party of half a dozen, say, or even a dozen roaming around looking to see what damage they could do. And obviously, a European bungalow, they would, if they felt they'd got that far safely without being spotted, would be rather fun just to throw a brick or two through the window, or, you know, a fire thing. And
do you have any memories of missionaries operating in the areas where you were?
Oh, yes, I do, yes. I knew them more in Wundanyi, because, yes, I certainly do remember them.
What did you think of their role in the colony whilst you were there?
Oh, I think they were useful. They also, you know, it was quite clearly they were out to help people. I think that was generally accepted. It was slightly unfortunate that there should have been a slight feeling between the Catholics and the Protestants, but, I mean, one district I was in, the district was more or less divided between them.
Geographically, you mean?
Yes, in geographic, you know, they sort of more come to agree in Wundanyi it was. As I told my wife, I preferred to visit the Catholic missionaries because I knew I'd get a beer, whereas if I went to the Protestant missionaries, I only got a cup of tea. But they were both... they worked very... They did do a lot of good, there's no doubt about that.
So you didn't feel that in any sense they might have provoked local feeling by their pressure for reforms?
No, I never got that attitude. I think they accepted law. No, I think they were... Don't remember that at all, really, pushing us for... And people like Bishop Beecher were thoroughly good people, you know.